On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Wow! What up, everybody? The Redskins decided to make a big splash on the first day of the free agency tampering period. And there you have it, Landon Collins leaving New York, coming to the Washington Redskins. Doesn't look like the tabloids up in Gotham are too into the move. And you know what happened? I don't know if folks saw the Mike Francesa reaction. The first reports of this contract, 6 years, $84 million, are like, whoa, that's a lot of cash. But the thing about NFL contracts, never believe the first report. Welcome into Redskins Talk. Pete Haley, JP Finley, Mitch Tischler, Brian Mitchell. Both Mitchells to my left. This is very dangerous. This happened in Atlanta. I don't know if I can survive.
We want a tough formation to deal with. A lot of mismatches.
You don't want to go there. Yeah. You don't, if there's a strong side and a weak side of the line,
this is the weak side.
There's no question where the strong side and where the weak side is. We want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the exact same thing. We're glad our boy Bob Biagi is feeling better. Talk to him this morning. Sure. He's on the mend. Let's get down to business with this Landon Collins contract. It looked incredibly daunting, looked like the Redskins might have overpaid, even though this is arguably the best, one of the best safeties in the NFL, a dire position of need for Washington. Still, 6 years, $84 million. At first blush, you're like, oh my gosh, that's way too much cash. Then the details start to come out, and you realize that Eric Schaefer, the Redskins cap whiz, did his thing on this contract, and it actually makes a lot of sense for the Redskins. So let's try to go through this one by one. It's an $84 million deal, but only half of that is guaranteed. $15 million of signing bonus that gets spread out over 5 years. So next year in 2019.
I love this number, Jay.
This is unbelievable.
Landon Collins is only going to cost the Redskins $4 million against the salary cap. Not only do they not have to cut players to sign him, they can get out of this deal after 3 years if they determine it's far too much money. You'll see the salaries go up year over year, but remember, too, that the salary cap goes up year over year. And, B-Mitch, I think there's two important takeaways for me from all the money stuff. Mm-hmm. One is that they were able to get him for $4 million in 2019. Meanwhile, Landon is actually walking with $16 million. So he's quite happy because he gets the signing bonus up front, but the money gets prorated. So they don't have to cut other guys. They only had $13 million available against the cap. They can keep Landon Collins and not have to cut other guys. Mm-hmm. Moves are probably still coming, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Other stuff will probably still happen. I don't know why that picture's up there now, but it's a hell of a picture. But here's the other thing, and I want to let you go on this. Because when we did our emergency podcast on Landon Collins yesterday, and when we talked about it just in the newsroom, your point is the best players cost money. Go sign some great players.
And that's what I believe. You know, and I think when I look at the contract, when I see the 6 years, the $84 million, everybody just see the big price. I know that all the contracts are worded and are put a certain way. So it's not necessarily exactly what you see. And the Redskins are key for putting out a big number to make, oh, look how much money we spent.
And agents want to do that.
Agents like to do it, too.
Agents always want the biggest number possible.
But ultimately, if you're going to compete, like we look at Preston Smith's contract today, and we'll get into that.
Sure.
I guarantee it's just not a flat that amount of money per year. But ultimately, you're going to have to pay people to be able to compete. And it's what the going rates are.
Sure.
Okay. Tyrann Matthews,
3 years, 42. But I guarantee you it's worded in a way to where he's going to get money. But it's also a way that the team could be protected a little bit later on. The, like when I heard the $45 million yesterday of guarantee, that's probably a 3 or 4 year deal.
Right.
Because that's how you look for what's the guarantee.
$45 million that's guaranteed? The last year is only guaranteed for injury, which most of the time doesn't seem relevant. The Redskins are in a little spot after the situation makes it look different. But in reality, you're looking at a two-year, $35, $33 million deal, depending on incentives.
And then when you look at that, you're talking about $17 million a year. Right. So it doesn't – people get so upset and get up in an uproar about the money. It is what the going rate is for a player of his caliber.
It's also been a position of need for God knows how long here in D.C.
Exactly. What Preston Smith got – it's a going rate for a player of his caliber. What Jameson Crowder got, it's a going rate. So, and you're going to see those numbers up there, but
let's touch on those numbers real quick then, because I find this pretty interesting. I think it's very easy to assess that Landon Collins is a better football player than Preston Smith. Landon Collins has been to the Pro Bowl 3 times. He's been an All-Pro player once. Preston's a good player. He's shown a lot of potential. He's been uneven. Preston Smith got $13 million a year. Landon Collins got $15 million a year. Some of that speaks to the positional importance of a pass rusher versus a safety. But for a – help me out with the percentage difference. Pete, what is 15 to 13? You're talking about maybe a 12%?
A little even
15%?
Less,
15 to 14.
I think the weak side.
I mean, 13 to 14. But ultimately,
I think you pay that much of a difference to get Landon Collins.
But the thing of it, you know – how much money are the top guys getting at the position that Preston Smith played?
Right.
They're making a lot, okay? We just saw Mosley in the middle. In the inside, gets 17 a year. So when you look, you can't look at it per year.
So let's
whatever somebody already has makes it's already gone the next year. Because that's the salary cap goes up and those prices change. We look at just a few years back when Trent Murphy got his money.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't even play and he was suspended.
Right.
So he got it paid because of what I knew Preston would get more than he got.
JP, you've looked a lot at this contract. And I want to ask you, I remember when Josh Norman got his big money deal, we were all like Eric Schaefer did it again, really short money. But now we're in Josh Norman's third or fourth year and we're kind of looking at his contract like, oh, this is kind of tough. Is Landon kind of a similar deal or do you think it kind of ages well for him?
That's a good question. And it will age well as long as he ages well as a player. They're also signing Landon Collins. He's only 25. You know, at the end of this deal, he'd be 30.
Yeah,
it's different because he's a younger player. Norman had been in the league longer. This is Landon Collins coming off his first contract, his rookie contract. So that makes a big difference. Yes, there are big money tags associated with this thing when you get into 2022, 2023, but who knows what the salary
cap will be. $200 million
then. I mean, it's $190 now.
It'll be $225, $250.
It's like every year these things will reset and then some safety next year will get a contract.
And in those 5 years, someone is going to judge that contract based on today's numbers instead of moving with the number.
And the other thing to keep in mind, there's a new CBA coming in 2021, that who knows what any of this is going to look like. That also means new TV deals. If the TV deals go up the way we expect them to, the cap will go up the way we expect it to. You don't want to project 3-4 years down the road in the NFL.
You're also playing a safety who's almost at the top. He's one of the best safeties in football. Preston Smith is a mid-level outside.
And he got
better than average.
He got mid-level money.
Right.
Based on what the rest of the guys are getting.
He also,
Preston Smith
hitting the market at a very advantageous time for him because there aren't a lot of other pass rushers.
Preston Smith had, 20-something sacks.
Four sacks last year.
24 and a half sacks in his 4 years here. Okay? Preston Smith, there's somebody out there, Green Bay preferably, saying this guy right here could be a far better player than what he was in Washington.
Sure.
Okay? And they may feel, this is every coach, I can make him better than what Washington, D.C. did for him. Okay, now let's say he goes next year and he gets 10 sacks. Did he justify the contract? Maybe, maybe not. But he also had 4 interceptions. Okay, he had a lot of back down. He did a lot of extra things that you can do as a player. And I think people always look at the fact that I can move him up and make him a better player than what he was. If he goes up there and he starts to get double-digit sacks, then they're not going to complain. But Will Smith said that they gave Preston Smith a lot of money. Who cares? It is what pro athletes get. So when they get paid money, I don't get phased at all.
And we had John on yesterday from Next Gen Sports, and last year, two seasons ago, Preston Smith was the most efficient pass rusher in the NFL.
I think Preston's money's great, but I think Redskins fans need to wrap their heads around how advantageous the Landon Collins deal is, that really it's a 3-year, $40 million deal that could vary a little bit, but it's not going to bury them. I think – Right now, they still have everybody under contract. They don't have to cut Zach Brown. We saw the money C.J. Mosley just got from the Ravens, and I want to dig – I'm sorry, from the Jets. And I want to dig into that a little bit more. C.J. Mosley got double the amount of money Zach Brown's going to get. Are we sure C.J. Mosley's doubly better than Zach Brown?
Not because so sure.
At some point, Zach Brown starts to look like a bargain, and the conversation has long been, is that a guy they have to release? And now it might be a guy that's worth keeping.
But C.J. Mosley...
or has more trade value.
And the whole thing about it, it doesn't come down to, is he two times better than Zach Brown? It comes down when he hit the market. Absolutely. And how good he was.
Same as Kirk Cousins.
That's the whole thing, and I think we too many times we want to compare. If I sign a guy this year, like Trent had gotten paid, and the way people think is, well, we can't pay nobody more than Trent. Yes, you can, because the market value will be higher than what Trent's is, and you have to pay him. But a lot of teams go in with that mindset. Yep. We can't pay nobody more now. We think the guy's the best player. And if you begin to play that game, you are going to lose out on players. But C.J. Mosley came out at the right time. He hit the market when he had a great year. He'd been playing very well. So he's going to get more. Zach Brown didn't get top dollar last year.
But let's open this discussion up then to – when we saw the news yesterday that the Skins signed Landon Collins, the immediate question is, who do they have to cut? How do they make this cap room for Landon Collins?
Right.
What we know now is for 2019, they don't have to cut anybody. Odds are they will. Odds are there's going to be some changes.
Case is counting $3.5 next year, and
Case
Landon
is three
four.
And a half million, and, yeah. and Landon Collins is $4
That's
million.
That's kind of an awesome little split there.
Yeah, it's an incredible value for both those guys.
They still have $9 million more bucks to spend.
Well,
but they got to get some more players.
They got to get more players. Let's count on $5 million of that going for draft picks.
But as you look at it now, $5 million for draft picks, and if you think that Landon Collins and Case Keenum, that's the two that they've added. They got to add some more people to be competitive.
So who do you think? Do you still believe Zach Brown, Stacey McGee, Vernon Davis? All the
I still think all those guys are still in the discussion if they decide they want to go after somebody else. They talked about being in the C.J. Mosley deal.
Right.
Okay. If they were talking about that and they were thinking about 14, 15, maybe 16 million because he got 17,
sure.
somebody is going to be released. And that's the whole thing about it. Listen, I played in this game and my mindset is I don't get attached to people. A lot of us get attached to guys. So they come, they go. And some people will be going. If this team is going to get better and get to the point of what you all want and fans,
I hear that.
They're going to have
Who's
to play.
Who's it going to be? Do you still think they need to go after, get rid of Zach Brown's salary, get rid of Stacey McGee?
It depends on what you're going to sign at that position. The next person, if they come in with another linebacker and you have Foster sitting there, Reuben Foster, then somebody's going to leave at that position. You're not going to keep all the numbers there.
Yeah, I don't think they're looking at C.J. Mosley and saying, we have Zach Brown for half of C.J. I think they're looking at their own roster and saying, we have Zach Brown versus Reuben Foster and Sean Dion, who are really cheap options. So I think ultimately Zach will still be moved at some point.
I just wonder now that you see what Mosley got, and they were interested on Mosley, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're interested on any other linebacker. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they don't realize, what if we get Zach Brown back teamed up with Rex Ryan, who he had a lot of success with in Buffalo. Rob, sorry, thank you. He's teamed up with him. You put him next to Reuben Foster. I don't know that either Brown or Reuben Foster are guys that can call plays in the huddle, but you know who can? Landon Collins. So you might have created a different paradigm for this defense where you don't have to rely on the middle linebacker being your captain, being your leader. Landon Collins can do that. And then you have speed guys. You have elite talent guys at both your inside linebacker spots. It seems an intriguing option.
Well, I said it quickly to you, but Zach Brown, the Raiders were interested in him. You look at the money that C.J. Mosley got, all of a sudden Zach Brown's contract looks real reasonable.
Right.
And maybe he has a little more trade value. And maybe
That's
the Redskins can pull a third or a fourth rounder for him.
What the Redskins did over the last 2 to 3 years at the defensive line position makes it to a point where they don't have to have top-notch linebacker. Okay, if you got somebody who's a short tackle, somebody that's smart enough to play this game of football, you have Payne Allen and Ioannidis. Okay, you have also Settle right there. You have young guys who have proven already that they can be formidable. So you can start to get different. I've always said you get better people at the big guy position.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend as much money at the others.
So let's.
My guy. I'm all in with that with you, buddy. Let's go.
Just slid into Beavich's ice cream.
Oh, yeah. The strong side of the line.
Let's go.
I'm in
on this.
We've talked a lot about linebackers and safeties and big men, obviously, but we need to talk a little bit about quarterbacks because the Redskins obviously made a big move to go get Case Keenum. Colt McCoy's under contract. There's a lots of speculation they'll be adding somebody, whether that's in the draft, maybe trading for Josh Rosen. Alex Smith is obviously still under contract. There's very little expectation for him to play, certainly in 2019 and maybe ever again. So the Redskins need to add quarterbacks. We all agree on that. Well, our guy Stephen A. Smith up at ESPN, who has had a rough run of maybe saying the wrong thing, decided he found the Redskins quarterback of the future. Take a listen to this.
Look at the Redskins last year. They had five different quarterbacks. Alex Smith, Josh Johnson, Colt McCoy. They even got Mr. Butt Fumble himself, Mark Sanchez, okay? And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
Verbal typos.
There he is. Some guy named Tress.
Just because you throw a pass don't mean you started the game.
Tress, congratulations on your big promotion, dude. How does it feel to now be a quarterback?
Listen, listen. Here's the deal. When you have a career QBR of 118.8, I don't think you are some guy. There needs to be some sort of respect in there. It's been a busy morning. Kyler Murray reached out to me. You know, I'm about 45 minutes north. He wants to pick my brain on what it's like, you know, the blitz packages and, you know, really that NFL game experience of being a quarterback. So it's been what a turnaround, man.
Trent, what he just did was give you something else to argue about when you're going for a contract renegotiation. You should get some more money because of that.
Yeah, you know, man, the biggest thing is Jay would talk to me. He's like, hey, you know, we're going to run some fakes. Do you want to run the ball? You want to throw the ball? I said, are you kidding me? Let me throw the ball. I said, because here's the deal. As long as the other team doesn't know it's coming, I'm probably going to be pretty good. So let's go for it.
Which was the better of your two passes? Because to me, the little out to Jehu Chesson last year.
Yeah.
Throw it before he made the break.
Throw to Dunbar in New York a couple years ago.
That was a big money
throw. That was a game they needed.
Yeah,
and that was a tight window. You were willing to make tight window throws, Tress.
Which was better.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is, like, I kind of look at this from my standpoint. Going out there as a punter, if I throw an incomplete pass, something happens, it's going to be like, oh, that's cute. He gave it a shot, whatever. But when I complete that pass and I get the first down, I mean, you get things like this. Stephen A. thinks you're a starting quarterback. I mean, he's continuing to move up. So, you know, all I was thinking last year throwing that out route to Chess was, God, do not throw a pick six. You know, oh, my God. So, you know, put it on him. And so let's, you know, my father-in-law, he always kind of teases me about, dude, you need to let them – or tell them to let you throw the ball a little bit. You got that sidearm release, and I'm serious, man. As long as the other team doesn't know it's coming, I'm pretty good.
Tress, what's it like having Case Keenum in the building now, and how are you going to show him the way as he tries to learn this new Redskins offense under you?
Yeah, you know, that's something that, you know, you never want to step on guys' toes. You know, obviously he's played quarterback. He's done a great job, but I feel like I have a lot to offer both on the ping pong table and out there slinging the ball around. So. You know, he's a Houston guy, and then he plays for Denver, plays for Minnesota. But, no, you're playing in the nation's capital. You know, you got to complete some passes in the nation's capital. I hope that he's willing to be receptive, that I can just, you know, offer a couple things to him and try and be one of those guys.
And tell him you don't know anything about the incompletions. You haven't thrown one.
Yeah, dude, you're 2 for 2.
Yeah, that's 118.8. You know, listen, guys. One of my favorite quotes from Jay-Z is, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And so that's
what was your reaction? So I can't imagine I was the first person to text you to look at Twitter. What was your reaction when you looked at your phone and you saw Gillette and Will Blackman and everybody else just going nuts with this thing?
Yeah, so believe it or not, dude, you were the first one. You know, you said, hey, dude, check your Twitter.
Tip of the spear.
And I opened it up, and oh, my gosh, I played it for my wife. My wife was cracking up. What's going on? I go, babe, do you not remember that game? You said you watched all the games. You know? And so we were kind of talking back and forth. And, yeah, so I, you know, to clear the air, Jay came up and said, hey, I want you to start at QB. And I said, dude, put the rock in my hands. I'll raise up the stands. Let's do this.
Tress, what do you hate more, incompletions or touchbacks?
Wow, what a great question. I haven't had a touchback in quite a while. So,
or an incompletion.
Or an incompletion, to be honest.
Yeah, good call. I'll tell you what I hate. What I hate more than anything is seeing freaking Darren Sproles back there, because that dude doesn't fair catch anything. So I'd go with that one.
Okay, option C.
Option C.
Yeah. Option C. Yeah. Sorry.
So if you saw what kind of jujitsu contractually Eric Schaefer was able to do to get Landon Collins on the roster for 2019, are you going to go to him now as a starting quarterback and say we should rework this thing?
Yeah,
you'll take a transition tag.
I will reach out to him. Now, the only problem is Schaefer and I get along really well, and I love talking with Schaefer and talking about his boys' baseball and things like that. I don't know how much stock he puts into what Stephen A. Smith has to say, so that's where I may lose a little bit there. But you better believe I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try and milk that as long as I can.
You know, Tress, I tell people they need to Google. Everybody in this day and age can find information, but you need to do it more than 10 seconds prior to saying it on the air. That's the whole thing about it.
Better yet, new special teams coordinator out there this year.
Yeah.
You going to start going to him and tell him to call more plays, call more fakes?
Well, you know, we'll see how it goes. My biggest thing is, you guys mentioned Case coming in town, and, you know, I always play a lot of those quarterback games with the guys where we have a relay race trying to hit the crossbar. And so, you know, I think as long as I can kind of, you know, show my expertise of slinging the rock around a little bit, maybe we can get some fourth down magic going.
Has Sundberg seen all this yet? Has he texted you yet?
He has not, but I guarantee you that dude is either hysterically or he's planning out. You know, he's, if anything, I thought about reaching out to him going, dude, how do I milk this? How do I? Do I go right after Stephen A or do I just hype up the QBR? What is the plan of attack?
Don't worry, we're going to tell you what to do. This thing will be all over the internet.
Oh, it will
soon.
Be.
Fourth down magic, when they're
announcing the offense this year,
yeah.
And they announce the quarterback, you run out.
That's right. Absolutely. You know it. You better believe it.
Two last questions for you. Do you think it's an open competition for you in Richmond between Colt, Case, Tress?
You know, as much as I would like to say yes, I just think that those guys have a little bit – they got a little bit of an edge on me. For one, I don't know what cover two means. I know what man-to-man is. I would try and find the fastest dude on the field and give it to him. And then, you know, I pretty much just wing it. Quick kicks would be called routinely with me. There's no shot of me taking a sack to the blind side. But I think I'm gonna do my typical training camp, have a pack of seeds, and watch the quarterbacks duel it out. And I'll pretty much just chill and wait for a nice cold one after.
Listen, sounds good. We got the picture for the cold ones.
Two most important people in D.C., President of the United States and Tressway.
That's right. What was your reaction quickly to the Landon Collins news?
Oh, dude, that was so awesome, man. Whenever I saw that we had a shot at getting him, I mean, when we would play New York a couple times a year every year, that dude is just insane. And so whenever I saw that we were getting him, obviously a lot of the guys say awesome things about him. Anytime you bring somebody in that can instantly be a leader – dude, I have just learned in 5 years of playing how valuable that is, and I cannot wait to see that dude strap it up in training camp and really get after it. And then also, we'll see what kind of game he's got on the ping pong table, which is what really matters to me.
I mean, you are the dominant force on the ping pong table. This is my last one. I know you got to run to lunch with your family. Are you being held hostage in a laundry room? Where are you located?
Nick hasn't been in a laundry room.
Twice.
Nick hasn't watched it for what?
So our twins, our baby twins are taking a nap probably 20 feet from me, so I actually came into my sister-in-law's room. She's teaching right now, so I just thought I could take over her room. So thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, it's a real beautiful setup I got here. So, yeah.
It's your mobile office. Yes. Tress, thank you so much, man. Always fun to talk to you. And I you are the right dude to have fun with all of this.
Sure.
And I cannot wait for the Tressway Stephen A. Smith Twitter conversation that is bound to happen.
It's the beef we need.
You got it, guys. Thank you all very
down
much.
Magic.
Thank you, Tress. Congrats. Right, two for two.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
It's 100% completion percentage.
That's it.
That's pretty good.
But you know what? When you look on Twitter, you might want to look at the little letter they normally have next to the guy. Yeah. P. means punter, right. Not passer.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
It's you know, Stephen A. should be mad at the PA that handed him that list of paper.
Yeah. No, he shouldn't be. He should be mad at himself because he's done this long enough to understand.
What are his? He's had a bunch of these.
How about Haskins
is a running quarterback?
ACL. Yeah, Dwayne Haskins is a running quarterback.
He left Drew Brees off the top quarterbacks in the playoffs list.
When you go to the Redskins Pro Football Reference page, it has a category of passing, and it has the four quarterbacks and Tressway is underneath it. It has all five of them grouped together. So I think you just saw that. Passing. Oh, one, but, two, three, four, five quarterbacks.
If a guy had one pass completed, doesn't mean he started the game.
I know, but when you're seeing
the whole thing about it.
So like, I need to talk about things I don't really know about. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, boom, I have the information.
It's like when you're speaking on things and you're yelling about it, you might want to be right.
To be fair, if Josh Johnson got hurt last year,
Jordan Reed, Trey Quinn.
What if Jordan Reed had been on? He said Jordan Reed was a starting quarterback.
Yeah,
that would have been something. I mean,
the thing about it, if he didn't say played quarterback,
what if they even
starting quarterback?
What if they had run a halfback option with Byron Marshall or something? There's no way Stephen A. would have known Byron Marshall wasn't a quarterback. Yeah. He just would have said his name too.
Yeah.
I say,
how many people did Art Monk catch passes from?
Oof.
They name all the quarterbacks. They never named me.
You threw a touchdown, right?
I played quarterback in that game.
Yeah. Did you throw a TD to him?
No, he went out on the half. I snuck that in.
Yeah. That's the
money back game, right? You have to be a professional, which means I'm going to look at the information and understand it before I say it to anybody.
Be a professional. Okay. I'll look up that word. Professional. Yeah.
It's not saying that a punter started a game at quarterback.
I know that. I know that Tressway kicks the ball and he doesn't throw it. Got that on Steve.
That's funny.
And he does that very well.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk. So we got another big guest. Nothing's quite as big as Tressway, let's be honest. Especially on Tressway Day when he gets called out by Stephen A. Smith. Chris Sims is going to join us in 5 minutes, and we're going to talk about Landon Collins. We're going to talk about all these moves in free agency. We're going to get a little QB update from Sims. Before we do that, though, I think we need to discuss Jamison Crowder getting paid by the Jets and what that means for the Redskins offense. I want to frame this. We all knew Crowder was gone. I don't think any of us expected Crowder or Preston to be back. The questions are on Ha-Ha and Adrian Peterson, both of whom I think the door is open. Not wide open, but it's open. It could happen. But let's go to Crowder, and there's two things here. I think he got paid a fair amount. I think the only time I would have gotten a little bit alarmed by the money for Jamison is if it got over $10 million. How many figures is that? Eight figures, I think, would have been too much. But high sevens, that's the right amount of money. Yeah. Especially if you look at the receiver market. Crowder was near the top. I think when healthy and in a good offense with a good quarterback, Crowder's very good. He's got really quick feet. We talked yesterday with Pollard about the separation he's able to get. What does it mean for the Skins, though? And I'm going to start. We'll start with Pete because this was your guy last year. How safe do you feel in Trey Quinn as the slot guy starting week one?
Yeah, that's the problem is he's really the only option on the roster right now. And some of these slot guys, Adam Humphries and other options, are being taken off the table. Cole Beasley's still out there. I feel right in the middle of the confidence, a 5 out of 10 with Trey, because Mitch and I, we've talked about the injuries, and Mitch is saying he never got hurt in college. So you have to hope that the injuries he had last year are kind of a fluky thing. Trey, when he was on the field, showed a lot, but it was just he showed a lot in a little bit of time. So I like the idea of going in there with Trey.
He was on the IR.
Yeah,
more than he had touchdowns.
I understand. I think you can roll with Trey and be okay with it. The problem is you don't really have any good guys on the outside either, so you have to address receivers somewhere.
Do you automatically assume he's a starter, though?
Who else is your slot guy?
The whole thing, but the season has to go.
Here's the other thing. Maurice Harris is one guy that could do it, but I don't know that Maurice Harris is going to be back. He's a restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they're going to tender him. I think he might have other options.
But I feel like at this point, for us to speculate him probably being a starter, you would say he was on the team last year. He did some things. He got injured, like you stated. If injuries pop up again early in training camp and he's not there. But once I think they need to bring somebody else in to compete with him. And make him have to earn the job. I don't really get on to putting guys in a position before they really just take the position.
Yeah, that's fine. He didn't exactly earn it. Yeah, I could see competition being good.
I think you got to see they're going to bring in guys a wide receiver. They're not going to.
They're going to draft somebody. That guy may come in and be the guy.
There's guys in free agency that are going to be a bit that are available now that can fill
a
couple holes.
You see the receivers here on the list here. I mean, Doxson and Richardson aren't going to play the slot. Let's be clear about that. I don't know that Harris is back. I don't. Crowder, we know, is gone. Cam Sims is not a slot guy. He's an outside guy.
You can also get creative with Jordan Reed. Floyd's coming back. Creative with Jordan Reed, who lines up a lot in the slot.
That's a reasonable idea.
And you can see him get reps there and have a guy who can catch the ball.
Not a full-time solution, though. And that's a guy who also gets dinged up.
I think this is Trey Quinn's job to lose. Do you not agree with that? I get wanting to have competition. But if you have to slate a roster right now, I think Quinn looks like the natural plug-in.
Absolutely.
I haven't been proven that. So, I mean, I understand what you see, and you just said because he's the only other guy on the roster. But, no, I don't believe that because you have, like, just like Bruce Allen stated, we don't play football today or tomorrow.
Sure.
We play football in July, August, October. And at that, you got a time to make sure you get somebody in that position. Just saying, oh, he's the only guy on the team, we're going to start him, that's what we've done for a long time.
So where does that make receiver as a need then?
Important. Look at the production of the receivers over the last few years. If you don't think it's important, something's wrong.
Yeah, it's not just in the slot.
It is very important. Yeah, I'm talking about across the board. So getting somebody that's going to be dominant in the slot, because we're watching slot receivers and tight ends are actually taking over in the league. So you got to get somebody that's going to be definite there. And then you need some help on the outside to take pressure off of those guys. You know, and I think when we look at this team, we can't look at either one of those guys and say, oh, for sure. You know, I guess you look at Paul Richardson based on the money he's made and that he got signed for.
He's
maybe
dealt with injuries too.
I
brought up a name last night on the radio that I think is pretty interesting. What would you guys think about a short-term deal? Now, this is a veteran guy. This is not a guy that's going to command top-of-the-market money, but he's got a little bit of size. We heard Jay and Doug talk about needing a receiver with size. What would you think about Michael Crabtree? It's a guy that's gotten it done in the NFL. The Skins haven't had a veteran that's gotten it done in the NFL since Pierre and Deshaun left 2 years ago. They brought in Terrell Pryor. That was not a guy that had a track record of getting it done in the NFL.
Yeah.
Crabtree's free now?
Yeah.
He's free. Yeah. He's
not free. He's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
He will not be free.
Tomorrow.
Right. He is a guy who drops the ball constantly, though. That is something. I think he has the most drops in the NFL during his tenure.
Going back to Trey Quinn, he's going to get a ton of reps in. No, not really.
Yeah.
He's going to get a ton of reps in OTA and minicamp. Mm-hmm. They're going to have plenty of time to see what they got in the kid.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of chance last year. So as we go to the season, we're going to get an opportunity to see what the kid has.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
When I look at the money that Crawley got, I expected him to get what he got. I wouldn't mind if he got $10 million. Because you saw last year when Ryan Grant hit the market, what he got offered first. And if Crabtree, that guy that came open, if he wouldn't have gotten open, he would have gotten that money. You know, they came up with this mysterious reason of why he couldn't. But you look at guys like Crowder, and if he could get back to what he was 2 years ago,
steal.
$10 million would have been a steal.
I got a name for you for a receiver that's available.
I feel like
Kelvin Benjamin.
Don't say
sure. But what did Booger say about Benjamin? He's one biscuit away from playing tight end.
You know what?
Let him play tight end.
Let's make it happen.
Let him play tight end.
Let's make it happen.
I got a name for you.
Oh, this is going to be a good one.
Don't say DB.
I'm trying to see
where
you're going, but I can't pick up on it.
Ryan Grant is a free agent. Staff loves him. He can play all the positions.
Yeah, we know they love him.
Just saying.
He's a free agent already?
It was a one-year deal.
Remember,
he did.
It was a one-year
deal.
It was a one-year, $5 million deal.
And we know Jay loves him.
Right.
And those guys normally come back because Byron Marshall's already back.
Oh, how about this one? Rashad Ross.
Ryan Grant's a slot guy.
Yeah.
Time to bring in our good friend Chris Sims. This is going to be fun because I think he can actually see us this time. Is that right, Sims?
Nope, I can't see you. We're not talking about what you'd rather not see.
One of these days. You got to see us in Indy, and you got to see that Mitch went top button Mitch. He's stuck with it since then. I thought you might be into that.
I can't let you be the only good-looking guy on the set.
Good. I mean, he self-scouted himself, and he realized, I mean, this Chris Sims guy's got style. I should bring this to my game.
Good luck.
So good job. Way to go.
Absolutely.
I want to plug it, and I also want to ask. So you've got your new podcast out now. I've been listening to it. I like it a lot. But it's called Unbuttoned, when you're a top button guy. Where is the irony here?
Well, the irony is that I will unbutton my brain and let it all loose of my football knowledge. But this ain't coming unbuttoned for anybody. There's no way. That's not happening.
It's your trademark at this point.
It is, really. It's unbelievable how either people go, oh, it's cool, I like your top button swag, or I have other people, and some of them are my bosses in this company, go, you look like an idiot, and you should unbutton it. So I'm a little torn with what to do at times.
They tell me I'm an idiot all the time. Don't worry about it.
You prove it.
Let's have you unbutton that brain. Let's start with Landon Collins. You know, the thing that caught everybody's attention was the big money. In the news that has come out since, none of that's guaranteed. The guarantees look pretty reasonable, especially when you see the money for C.J. Mosley and some other guys. What's your take on the Skins going to get the Giants star safety?
Yeah, well, I got no problem with them going out and addressing the position in general. I mean, the Washington Redskins the last few years have been in desperate need of safety play. Now, was the contract, you know, at first look a little rich for my liking? Certainly. I don't think Landon Collins at this point of his career is one of the three or four, five best safeties in football. I think he's more towards the 8, 9, 10 range. I think that's how the Giants evaluated him. But either way, when healthy, if you can get a 2016 Landon Collins, he certainly can bring some playmaking ability to your team. But he's been banged up. He's been injured. 2017 was below average. 2018 was better. But again, he was banged up. He was banged up coming out of Alabama. And I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that about the reports about the guaranteed money. But certainly my first thought was, wow, that's pretty rich. And I don't know if I would have gone on a limb and paid him all of that guaranteed money.
Chris, as you look at this quarterback position, they bring Case Keenum in, but there are whispers that they're going to still go and look for another quarterback. Do you think they should do that with maybe a guy like Rosen, or really look for it in the draft?
Well, I think there's a lot of things here at play. This is a good question, good conversation in general. I think the first thing you got to think about, okay, is the Washington Redskins. I would think Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden, I'm not breaking news here, but they got to realize this is a pretty big year for their football team and a pretty big year for their job and their job security. So I don't know if they want to deal with a young quarterback and having to groom him or come along. They're kind of in no man's land when it comes to the draft in the first round. I think the big three quarterbacks, and when I say the big three, I mean Murray, Haskins, Locke. I think they're going to be gone before 16, so they're going to be hard-pressed there. And I got to think Jay Gruden wants to win right now, and that's why he brings in an experienced guy like Case Keenum, right, to compete with the Colt McCoy. I think Case Keenum will be the starter. You can't necessarily depend on Colt McCoy because every time he's gotten an opportunity, he's got injured as well. So I understand that move along with it. And they have to buy themselves time because of the contract with Alex Smith. I mean, I think that's another thing that's in a part of this conversation in general. They're not going to get out of that contract and some of the dead money that's involved there. So I think bringing in Case Keenum was a smart move by everybody in Washington.
Hypothetically, if Rosen does become available, and he was in this draft, where do you see him going? Do you think the Redskins giving up pick 15 is a reasonable amount to give up for him?
Well, no, I would probably say that's probably a little rich at this point. You know, I don't know if I would do that. You know, maybe you give a second round pick. Maybe you've found a way to package some picks all together. Josh Rosen certainly has some potential, definitely. Now, I hear people always going, oh, if he was out in this draft, he would be the first quarterback taken. I don't agree with that. I don't know that.
Where do you have him in this draft?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to put Murray above him. I think, you know, Drew Locke and Haskins have better physical high-end talent than Josh Rosen. They might not be as accurate or as quite as good a decision maker as he was, but I would say both are probably better athletes, both are bigger men, and both have more of an elite arm as far as that's concerned. Let alone, you know, you guys know this, I know this, there was a lot of conversation about some teams just not in love with Josh Rosen, the person, when they evaluated him coming out in the draft too, so you got to be comfortable with that aspect as well. I just don't know if Jay Gruden wants to bring in a guy who's, okay, second-year quarterback, second offensive system, learn my system, my butt's on the line, I might get fired this year. I just don't know if he wants to deal with all that, and that's why I think he will go with this Case Keenum, Colt McCoy combination.
So if Jay doesn't want to get one of those guys at the top of the draft, is there somebody as you slide down the board that would be a good guy to get in the system, get in the building, have him learn behind Case and Colt for a year? What kind of mid-round guys do you like to fit with the Redskins?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is some good guys. Now, the guy that jumps off to me right off the bat, you know, that's I think, is maybe an end of the first round talent. Maybe he's a second round guy, is the Ryan Finley from North Carolina State. He was one guy that I've seen in person, but I was blown away more by what I saw on film. He certainly has some big time potential. Now, the rest of the guys, hey, Daniel Jones, I don't know there. I think that's a little bit of a project. There's some other guys down the lines that are certainly good, but I don't know if they're the type of guys I'm going to look at and go, oh yeah, this is your starting franchise type quarterback one day down the road. I don't know if that guy exists so far in this draft. At least I haven't got far enough down the quarterback draft line here to tell you or bring up any of those guys quite yet.
You think Jones is really going to slip into the second round? Because I saw where you had on your podcast, you had him after Finley and Stidham.
Yes.
And I just wonder. I'll tell you the truth. I have a bet with Mitch here
JP
that four quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Starting to get a little nervous there?
I'm just starting to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, and I should have added Jared Stidham's name in that conversation because I do. I think he's a pretty talented quarterback as well. I think a lot of the negatives you hear about a guy like Stidham, when I watch the film, I go, well, it's not really Jared Stidham. He certainly wasn't perfect, but Auburn was a mess this year, and I'm not going to put all of Auburn's issues on Jared Stidham. That's the age we live in right now. Yes, Daniel Jones, I don't see it as being a first-round quarterback, though. And, hey, listen, this is never easy to say this about young men, young kids who are trying to make their way, but, you know, when I look at it, the first thing I'll say is this. Anytime I hear about Daniel Jones, even throughout the season, it was always the first thing out of everybody's mouth was, well, he plays for David Cutcliffe. He's in a pro system. Well, that's great, but when you're not talking about his physical ability right off the bat, that is always concerning to me. And then when I watch the film and go, man, there's nothing here that makes my jaw drop or go, wow, a lot of the plays and stats are because of the system, and the system formulates some open wide receivers, and it's just served up to him. And I put a lot of stock into that, into evaluating. Hey, anybody can hit the slot out route for 5 yards. I'm not going to go, whoa, he threw the 5 yard slant route to the slot receiver. He's a first round pick. Oh my gosh. No, I got to see what you do when things are tough or when plays are not there to be had. Can you make some big throws? Can you buy some time outside of the pocket or in the pocket? And those are the things I don't see from Daniel Jones. I just don't see elite, true physical ability to justify a first-round quarterback, in my opinion.
Well, Chris, I think one thing the Redskins need is some elite pass rushing on the other side of Ryan Kerrigan. And we just lost Preston Smith to the Packers. Well, tomorrow we'll be doing that officially. What are some guys out there that the Skins may want to be looking at to try and solidify that position on the other side of Ryan Kerrigan?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, this is something that I hope I can come back on in a few weeks because I haven't dove into the defensive end class yet, and that's coming up soon. But the one thing I know, just watching, being a football fan, talking to my friends, whatever it may be, I mean, the defensive end class, the defensive front seven in this draft class is extremely deep. Now, I just got to watch all these guys and figure out how I would rank them and who deserves to be in the middle of the first round and things like that. So I can't give you an honest answer there. But, I mean, yes, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, you know, maybe the guy Montez Sweat, the freak we saw from Mississippi State, he might be around towards that part of the draft, you know. But I think he might even go before that because, guys, there's just not many people on planet Earth that are built like Montez Sweat that have those kind of physical abilities. But, again, sorry I haven't got down the line there to that position
don't
yet, but
sorry,
I'll give you some more answers as we go along.
You're good.
Not acceptable. Just kidding.
How much do you see what the Redskins have done so far in free agency affecting how they address 15 and even second, third, fifth round picks?
Yeah, well, I think just, you know, again, you go into free agency, it's about positional needs, and then can you figure out if those needs meet what you want to do financially? So, you know, hey, they let Preston Smith get out the door. Certain guys like that, okay, but they address the safety position. Did I hear you that there's talk about them signing Michael Crabtree? Is that another thing I heard about as I was getting on here?
They need receiver help, and I made the argument that they could use a veteran that's gotten it done in the league rather than a up-and-comer because they have what are supposed to be up-and-comers on the roster. They don't have any veteran receivers. And I don't know that Crabtree's the answer, but he's affordable and he's got a little bit of size and they could use both of those things. I mean, what would you think of him as a possible signing?
Well, yeah, I think the one thing you get from a Crabtree is you know what you're getting, right? And to your point, because of the draft and young guys, you don't always know what you're getting. You know, there's just so many variables that go into evaluating, receivers, whether it's the first, second round receiver. Look at Josh Dotson. I bet you the Washington Redskins never thought they would have been in this position as far as evaluating him and getting him kind of indoctrinated into the system. So, yes, I understand that approach. I think also just with Jay Gruden, like we talked about, the status of the people working in the Washington organization, that they're going to look for guys that can help now. They're not looking to groom players because if they're sitting there too busy worrying about grooming players, their butts are going to get fired and they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Chris, what's the deal that shocked you the most in free agency, either because of how much money or how little money a guy got signed for?
Oh, okay. Well, I would say Landon Collins was certainly in that conversation. not only because I guess, obviously I thought less of the player than the Washington Redskins, but also just, the current safety market. I think that is, something
I've looked. There's a lot of players out there.
Exactly right. The current safety market with a lot of players out there, you look at the last few years, they have not been paid, right, a top dollar at the safety position. So I think that one was eye-popping to me. I guess C.J. Mosley, the type of money he is a phenomenal player. I mean, the Jets have made some big moves. I guess that pops out to me as well. And I think really maybe the biggest thing to me to this point really is probably the fact that Le'Veon Bell is not on a team yet. I thought that he would kind of be one of those guys that gets snatched up in the first few hours of the flirtation period just because he is a high-end running back and really one of the most talented guys out there on the free agent market on the offensive side of the ball.
Chris, I know you got to run, but quickly, Jamison Crowder to the Jets. How much help can he be for Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I thought that was an amazing signing by the New York Jets. I mean, as you guys know, you know how special Jamison Crowder is. He can play. He is one of the better slot receivers in all of football. And the Jets are sneaky talented on the offensive side of the ball. They have good tight end play. I mean, they got guys like Quincy Enunwa, who is very good. Robbie Anderson's explosive. Now you got this guy to work the slot. Yeah, and Adam Gase, who knows how to get the ball to those type of receivers. That's why Jarvis Landry was catching 114 balls a year when he was with Miami. I think he's going to be really utilized to his capacity, and that's a great signing by the New York Jets.
Just tell Adam Gase to wear sunglasses at his next press conference. It'll go much better for him.
I'm with you. I know Adam Gase, and he scared the hell out of me with those eyes, too. I'm not going to lie.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us, man. Everybody that listens to our podcast, make sure you go check out Unbuttoned with Chris Sims, and we appreciate it, man. One of these days, we're just going to invite you down to D.C., and you can sit with us and sit next to Mitch with your top buttons and all of your glory.
Also, he can see what me and B-Mitch look like, too, which would be nice.
He knows what B-Mitch looks like.
Don't ever put me with you, Pete.
We had this quarterback bet for a while, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling good about it.
You owe me, like, three other bets.
Thanks,
Chris,
guys.
Thank you very much, man.
Be good.
Sims is great. Always good to hear his take on both the free agency thing and that. What he said about Landon Collins is really interesting because there is a bigger conversation. Is Collins the top safety in the league? Is he a top three safety in the league? Is he a top five safety in the league? And we don't have to break that down, but I think there's easily a handful of guys you can probably put ahead of him just off the top of your head. Even in this free agency class, I think Earl Thomas is going to get more money.
Earl Thomas might get more money, but I don't know.
He's
25. And people don't get paid for what they've done. They get paid for what people think they're going to do. And I think Landon Collins at this point is one of those guys that people look at that can be top three safety, top four safety in this league. You look at Eric Berry, who we all thought was great. Sure. He signed a nice deal just a few years ago. With the signing of Tyrann Mathieu, he may be out.
Right.
So when you look at it comes.
There are some young safeties out there, and I'm talking about Jamal Adams with the Jets, Derwin James with the Chargers, Eddie Jackson with the Bears. There has been an influx of talent at that
position.
But
if Derwin James was free right now, Derwin James would have probably got 6 years, $94 million. Sure. So the thing about it, you can't judge Landon Collins based on Derwin James right now. Derwin James has come in and looks closer to Sean Taylor than anybody out there.
I agree.
Okay. Is there an element to signing where he's to talk about the marketability? He's a Sean Taylor guy.
Alabama guy. We've seen him get nearby from Alabama.
All this stuff plays into it. How is he going to be in the locker room?
Try to sell T-shirts to the Crimson Tide fans.
How's he going to help out with Reuben Foster as a guy who's a good locker room leader?
He's worth it to the Redskins, I think.
There's a lot of things working.
He's worth it to the Redskins, and the deal doesn't look nearly as daunting as it did.
Right.
Look,
yesterday, after Redskins 100, we caught up with Ralph Vacchiano from SNY. He covers the Giants. We wanted to get a little more in-depth on Collins, the player, and Collins, the person, to Mitch's point, just to deliver that for Redskins fans as they try to really get to know who this guy is on the field, off the field. Let's go to Ralph. Big, big, big pleasure now to bring in Ralph Vacchiano from SNY, covers the Giants up there. And let's get started with the big news here in D.C. Landon Collins is now a Redskin. Let's start at the top of this thing. Give us the scouting report on the player that you've seen every day at practice and games that we've only got to see twice a year for the last 4 years.
Yeah, Landon Collins is a very hard-hitting, aggressive safety. He's a tough guy. He's okay in coverage, not great, although he did have a couple of years ago where he had a lot of interceptions. Many of those were about being in the right place at the right time. So he's not going to be somebody who's going to be dominant in covering a tight end necessarily, but he could be as physical as pretty much any safety in the game. He's basically a good box safety, and he can have an impact. I don't know about $84 million worth of impact, but he can be an impact player.
Well, when I look at it, I think people always say box safety and things. That, how much was the scheme a part of how he – you see him with interceptions a lot the year before, then it drops off the next year. A lot of times the scheme could play a part in that too. What did you think about their scheme?
Yeah, there's no doubt that last year when they switched over to James Betcher's defense, played a 3-4, he wasn't used the same way. He was used a lot more closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, he's not – the years before, he was sometimes used interchangeably with the free safety as well, and that's how he ended up picking off some of those passes. But yeah, he never really seemed to fit in a lot in what the Giants were doing, which I think is a big reason why they were so willing to let him walk away without even giving him the franchise tag. So, you know, if you find the way to use him the right way, he could have that impact again, could have those interceptions again.
You talked about them letting him walk away. He now joins Josh Norman as Dave Gettleman cast-offs in D.C. Now that this whole thing is kind of wrapped up and we know he's coming here, are people still in New York kind of shocked and upset over this? Or what's kind of the breakdown of response now that Landon Collins is really leaving?
Yeah, I think they're still upset. He was a popular player. He was a team leader. Honestly, he was one of only a couple of good defensive players that they had. And, you know, they're letting both of them, Landon Collins and Olivier Vernon, get away. So people are still pretty upset about it. There's no doubt about it. I think when they saw the money, they understood it a little bit more. The Giants weren't going to get involved in that kind of a market, but it hasn't really softened the blow. And, you know, for people who value safeties, a lot of people think you can have an impact player at safety. It's a little strange that they now know that Dave Gettleman just doesn't. He's not a guy who believes in paying any defensive backs, really.
All he wants to do is pay linemen, it seems. All he wants to do is pay O-line and D-line. But he got rid of Vernon, too.
Yeah, he said, well, he believes this is a big man's game. He wants big men up front. He wants big men on the defensive line. And Olivier Vernon was another one. He had an $85 million contract. He didn't want a guy getting paid that kind of money and getting him only 7-8 sacks a year and not being healthy all the time. He wants to get a big guy who's going to be there all the time.
Big men loving big men reminds me of our Mitch Tischler. I want to ask just about Landon Collins, the dude. Landon Collins in the locker room. I know he was a captain. He seems like he was very well liked by the fellow players and certainly the fans. What about the staff? Was there ever anything going on there that maybe they're like, you know what, if we lose him, we lose him?
No, I think the only thing that ever kind of stood out with him was a year ago, the Giants had a mess of a locker room. Their last year under Ben McAdoo, and the defensive backs were a big problem. You know, a couple of them were suspended. A lot of them had bad attitude problems. And at one point, Landon Collins got involved by going on the radio and calling Eli Apple, his teammate at the time, a cancer. Eesh. And there were people in the organization who heard that and thought, well, that's not something a captain does. And I've definitely heard people say, well, why wasn't he ever able to solve some of these problems? If he's really the leader back there, how come he couldn't get control of what that defensive back core was doing? Now, he was 24 years old, so right. I don't know if that's fair, but that was really the only time I found any blemish on his character. Other than that, everybody seemed to really like him a lot.
But, you know, I see that the captain calls out a guy and the team got mad at him. That messes up the captain's leadership value.
Right.
If they had gotten on his side, then maybe that whole little problem would have ended. Too many times I see teams don't like players to be outspoken and be the actual person that the other guys are going to listen to, and they start to go against that person. That's counterproductive right there. If Landon Collins went publicly to say something, believe me, most of those teammates wanted that to happen.
Well, and we dealt with a similar situation with Swearinger. Sorry, Ralph, go ahead.
That's okay. Oh, and the organization didn't. This is an organization, the Giants, that don't like players speaking out. And, you know, he had a weekly radio gig. I'm sure they didn't love that either.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ralph, I know you got to run. You are quite busy up there in the Big Apple. But we have to ask you two things. Is Odell Beckham really going to get traded? That's one. And then two, are they going QB at six? At some point, you got to plan for life after Eli.
Mm. Yeah, well, the latter, I would hope so at this point. I mean, they don't have a plan right now for after Eli Manning. So
you can trade for Alex Smith's contract if you want.
Yeah, I think they're going to pass on that.
Good idea, though.
Yeah. As for Odell Beckham, you know, look, they're willing to listen. If any team wants to call, they don't love Odell Beckham enough to hang up the phone.
Sure.
But it better be an overwhelming offer. They're not interested in trading him unless somebody says, here are two first-round picks. Here's something you absolutely can't refuse.
All right, we got to let you go. Real quick, tell everybody your Twitter so they can give you a follow. All the Giants news, and you're all over the Jets too, man. You got it all.
Yeah, I got them both going right now, and my Twitter handle is rvacchianosny.
All right, thank you very much for your time, and we will see you before too long, man. We'll be at the Meadowlands. Clock's ticking. Thank you very much, Ralph.
See you, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph. Guys. Looking forward to it.
Vacchiano's always great. Really knows his stuff about what's going on up in the Big Apple. Speaking of the Big Apple, everybody thought Anthony Barr had signed with the Jets, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, ends up, none of this stuff's official till Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
There you go.
We're going to be live on air then. We're just basically going to be live on air all week. And Anthony Barr now going back to the Vikings.
But he could go somewhere else because it's still not official.
Yeah, true. It's not official.
The other thing to keep in mind here is that the Jets had long been rumored on Le'Veon Bell. The reports were that they had gotten to their top dollar offer and weren't going to go any higher. Ian Rappaport just said, now with the Anthony Barr money back in their hands, they made another offer to Le'Veon Bell. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Le'Veon signing with the Jets would make things awfully interesting. The only other thing I'll point out is that I had heard that there was going to be interest from the Jets in Preston Smith. We've talked about Preston Smith has agreed to terms with the Packers. If you were Preston Smith, maybe you hold up a second and just make sure that that Gangrene doesn't want to increase their offer for a pass rusher.
They offered up there $16 million guaranteed to Preston in Packerland, but $34.5 million to Za'Darius Smith. Maybe people are not offering Preston the same as they're offering other guys. And like we said, you look at the deal, it looks 4 years, $52 million.
Yeah.
$16 million of that guaranteed. Crowder got more than that guaranteed on the three-year deal.
17.
You know,
17.
So when you look at it, it may be the best deal he's received. Now, if they're going to offer Le'Veon Bell another deal, I don't know how much money they're going to have to offer Preston Smith.
I know.
But if that money doesn't get Le'Veon done, there's going to be money available.
Couple other things. We're talking
4 o'clock tomorrow. We'll know.
Talking about free agent wide receivers. A couple of them just signed with the Bills. Cole Beasley and John Brown. Sleepy Brown from the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So those guys are off the market. Those are Beasley, certainly a slot guy. Brown can play outside because he has that elite speed. But those are two guys that won't be coming to the Washington Redskins. One guy that's going to go do his radio show right now
is
Mr. Brian Mitchell. Thank you, as always. Tune in to B Mitch at 1 o'clock on the Team 980. It's time for us, I believe, to B Mitch, before you leave, you might want to see one picture.
I'm looking.
Let's see how Pete looks in Mitch's coat.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that earlier.
Very important.
Oh, yeah.
He looks pathetic.
This picture gets better the more you look at it, too. We were in this conference room laughing about it for 20 minutes. I'm still not sure whether Mitch likes it or not, but
I don't think Mitch likes it.
It is what it is, guys.
Mitch looks like Mitch wanted to, like, throw
basically, it looked
window.
Like three of you could fit in that jacket.
It just makes me smile.
Mitch is a big man.
Big man, small man. Big man, small man. It's the way it is.
It's a big man suit on a small man. It's funny.
Pete, afterwards, you can try this one on and see how it feels.
What size suit do you wear?
I have no idea.
42?
Oh, 42. I just got a blazer that was 42.
He has no idea.
42 standard.
Slim.
I'm a 42, not a slim guy.
I am certainly not slim.
Based on that button, you need to do 44.
Oh, boy.
And there goes Ryan.
nice walk-off moment
with
Mr.
friends
Mitchell.
Like these. Yeah. All right, let's do this. As we usually do, we got folks sending in their pictures, watching the stream. This is our guy, Jack Pollard.
So consistent.
Jack Pollard's just watching in school all the time.
Jack Pollard's no cell phone might be lacking a little bit, but he's very dedicated.
This is our boy Cleveland is watching.
Brian
Hall watching from Wilmington, eating barbecue. I would love to eat some barbecue. Somebody bring us some barbecue.
I'd love to just eat anything, really.
Yeah, I'm quite hungry.
Mo Hawkins.
Mo Hawkins watching on his computer.
Another consistent one. JP from, is a working laptop. I bet you're jealous of him.
Yeah. Look at all these working.
Our guy Tak is watching. That's New York City and North Carolina, man. That's our window.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all these people using the My Teams app, which if you haven't gotten it yet, you are just falling behind, and I feel
Danny Frank, a Mount Rushmore listener, tuning in for the Tress Way bit. How hysterical is Tress Way, by
Tress
the way?
Tress is such a great
dude.
This
could not have happened to a better person on the Redskins roster. Like, Tress Way just nailed his interview. It was a great guy to be mashed up with Stephen A. Smith.
So you know what I'm concerned about with our guy, Jack Pollard, is we talk all the time about JP's college GPA was like, what, 0.06?
It was higher than that.
Something like that.
I graduated in 4 years, for the record.
I'm concerned that Jack is taking life notes from you, and that ain't good.
He's a little
C's
too
get
dedicated.
Degrees, dude.
C's get degrees.
2-4, you're out of there. I don't know if that works in high school, though, and I think Jack might be in high school.
Yeah, and all that
lot of school in high school, too. I don't know if I should be telling the kids this.
Yeah, yeah.
The most concerning was the guy who was working in, like, the chemistry plant, and, like, there's signs that said, like, dangerous chemicals.
It says no cell phones, and he's taking a picture on his cell phone.
Yeah, that was very scary. And, I mean, we're affecting a lot of things here, academics, you know, the safety of the public, but at least people are tuning in and getting good Redskins coverage.
I'm glad that Pete is here to bring up our collective GPA to a reasonable number.
Well, he's a nerd.
Yeah, the dude sits on the end of the bench.
He's a nerd. I get it that you are on the end of the bench.
I'm your air boy, and I sit at the
GPA was good.
Yeah, was like definitely.
It was good. Yeah. I mean, it was no 0.06, I'll tell you that much.
No one here had a 0.06.
I was paranoid, Pete. I've heard some low numbers. Super paranoid in college.
I certainly did not go to every class. There was a lot of time.
Let's talk about this. So Cole Beasley just got paid. He's 29 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look. John Brown is 29 years old. The Bills are spending some cash to get Josh Allen weapons. I like Josh Allen. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. But at the money they spent, I think I'd rather have Jameson Crowder, who's younger, right?
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
And probably a little more dynamic than Cole Beasley, at least.
They got two guys, though.
Yeah. Yeah, two, but a little expensive.
But they spent the same amount of money. I mean, Beasley's getting the same guarantee. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. John Ross is still sitting out there as a speed guy.
They tried to get him the biggest weapon of all time, and then they had to settle for Brown and Beasley. But yeah, two guys.
Le'Veon Bell to the Jets would be pretty wild.
That offense all of a sudden would have a lot of juice from a team that hasn't had a whole lot of offense.
The Redskins will be seeing Jameson Crowder, Preston Smith, if Preston stays with the Packers, and Kirk Cousins this season. So some good revenge/reunion games coming up in 2019.
I think nothing. What is that game going to be? Part of me kind of hopes Skins Vikings is like the season opener.
Yeah,
especially if it's Keenum.
Or it should be a
Cousins.
Thursday night game. Thursday night game, prime time, something like that.
It's up there, right? It's in Minnesota. Yeah. And I agree with Sims. I said this on the podcast last week, or maybe yesterday. I don't even know what
day it is. So many podcasts.
There's been a lot of podcasts. But that I believe Keenum will be the week one starter. Two off seasons in a row now, the Skins have had the chance to keep Colt as their starter. Two off seasons in a row, they've made a different decision.
All right, question for you. We have 23 hours before we're back live again.
Do we? Are we going to have to record another emergency pod?
That's what I'm asking. Are we going to have another move before that 23
hours? Not all moves warrant emergency pods. I want everybody to keep that in mind.
No, but the Landon Collins one did.
Landon Collins, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if they add a backup swing tackle.
Like a Pernell McPhee type player or something.
Backup swing tackle. Absolute emergency pod.
It could be a one-person emergency pod, and we'll post that. Mitch will post that to everything.
Mitch talking line technique for 16 minutes.
Yeah, Pete? Is that where we're going right now?
Yeah, Mitch, I'll put your jacket on.
Let's see if Pete makes it to tomorrow.
I think we have a good dynamic, strong side, weak side.
Yeah.
I think you're best suited over there.
Yeah, my neck is sore, but besides that, I'm just happy to be on set. It's better than not being here.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Home game.
I'll take it.
Just take what you got. Home games are great.
All right, we're almost done. We want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Thank you to everyone who's watching. Thank you to Chris Sims, Ralph Vacchiato, and certainly Tress Way. If you made it this far, come back tomorrow. There'll be beers at the end of the week.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.